If we want to pray with faith, and I want to pray with confidence, and I want to pray with a power that will give me the answer to the prayer that I have, how do you do it?
Pastor Ray Bentley reminds us God will answer our prayers if we pray according to His will.
Have you ever wondered, is this the will of God, or what is the will of God? We learn the will of God by being in the Word of God. God's Word reveals His will. Be in the Word.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We know that prayer is powerful. It's a pipeline to the throne of Almighty God. But we also know that sometimes our prayers don't seem to get answered. Is there a way to ensure that God hears our prayers? Is there a way to make our prayers more effective? Well, Pastor Ray answers those questions during today's study. Glad you're along for the insight.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, we're going to go through verses 15 through 24. And the title of the message, Trusting God. Trusting God. Oh, this is such a joy to be with the Lord Jesus as He now makes His way to the Temple Mount. Now, verse 15, it says, so they, Jesus and the disciples, came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you, listen very carefully, have made it a den of thieves or a den of robbers. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. Worshiping God through giving. The people are coming from all over the land of Israel and some even beyond the borders of the country of Israel to be at the Feast of Passover. Now, the city of Jerusalem at this time would have been a bustling city of activity. There were tens of thousands of Jews who lived in the vicinity of Jerusalem, in, near, and around the temple so they could be worshiping God all year round. But at this particular time, it's even more crowded. In fact, they said that at the times of the feast, the city would grow by three times its normal population as the major feasts of the Lord are now approaching. In particular, the very first one is Passover. So there are sacrifices to be purchased. You know that with Passover, there has to be a lamb for each family and the head of the family as they find a lamb and have it sacrificed there at the temple. And they have, you know, many of them, because they don't have their own independent country. They're under Roman rule and domination. They have come maybe from a pagan city where they live and where they work and are paid in Roman coins. Now, in order to be able to bring this and to offer sacrifices to the Lord, they want to exchange their pagan money, which has idols on it, for Jewish currency. And the other things that were required to worship the Lord in the Holy Temple. Now, as Jesus enters into the temple area and he sees all of this activity going on, he is visibly upset and disturbed by something that he sees. And he begins running and yelling and throwing things and turning tables over. I'm sure this was quite a sight for the disciples. All right, so Jesus is upset. They're doing what the law requires. They're providing a service that God said would be a blessing for them. So what's going on here? What is the source of the problem? What really was making Jesus so upset? And here it is. It was not that they were exchanging things. It was not that they were money changers. They were doing the right thing, and they were in the right place. They were in the outer courts. But what we find out from the Gospels is that those who were the money changers were adding, they were actually extorting the people, charging a lot extra. They were not being fair with the people who were coming to worship God. They were not giving them a fair exchange. They were taking advantage of them. We call it today gouging the customer and making too much money and profit, not just to live a humble life or be able themselves to pay and provide for their families, but they were robbing people. And that's what got Jesus so upset. And I think this is, you say, well, okay, well, what is the application? The application is this. Sometimes we get the feeling that we're being condemned because what we're doing is wrong, when in fact the Lord is saying, no, what you're doing is allowed, it's okay, but what is your motive? What is your heart? Are you taking an exaggerated advantage of your brother and sister? Are you extorting them? Are you using them in a way that is beyond what would be loving? And especially when it's related to coming and worshiping God. That was the core of it. That was at the heart of it. That's what made Jesus so upset. And what it revealed something. It was an indication that revealed that these people, had they kept it what was, yeah, they make a little bit. I mean, they are providing a service. The workman is worthy of his hire, the New Testament says. But when the motive becomes, they have to come to me. I have them. There's nowhere else they can go. And then you start doubling the price, and then you triple the price, and then you really are taking advantage of these people who are coming to pray and to seek the Lord. Jesus said, you've lost the heart of what it's all about. The heart of this is not to make money in the temple precincts. There's business to be done. And so often I think that we get the idea that doing business in the world, that's not a holy calling. Being a pastor, being a missionary, sharing your faith, being a witness, those are spiritual things. But I now have to go out into this rude and pagan world and make a living, and it's somehow wrong, or there's something, unholy about it all. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the Lord wants for there to be businessmen, businesswomen, people that are making a living. And if it's done with the right heart, where the focus is on bringing glory and honor to the Lord, there's a way where we can all bless one another and be provided for and take care of our families and children, and yet have a heart where the Lord is first and foremost. Amen? Amen. So that's what the Lord was doing. Now, verses 20 through 26. Jesus teaches us a powerful lesson on prayer. We read in verse 20, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, he and the disciples, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And so Jesus answered and said to them, Jesus takes this illustration, which we had talked about what the fig tree represented, and the nation of Israel at that time, the fruit that was expected. And so remember when John the Baptist had come and said that the axe is laid to the root of the tree? Well, now that tree would come down by 70 AD. But there's still a remnant that God will save in the midst of that. We also talked about the parable of the fig tree in Matthew 24 that begins to bud forth the resurrection of Israel in the latter years and in the latter days prior to the coming of the Messiah. But now Jesus is going to take this prophetic symbol and teach a lesson on prayer. And that's where I want to go tonight. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith or have trust in God. For assuredly, because Peter was shocked that you just said that yesterday. And wow, the thing is just withered and died. And Jesus uses it as an example of the power of prayer. Have faith in God. Have trust in God. For assuredly, I say to you, who is he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he's talking to you. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. All right, now let's talk about this for just a moment. The power of trusting God in prayer. I put Mark 11:22 in the Complete Jewish Bible because it uses that word that I love so much. Faith means trust, and trust means faith. He responded, have the kind of trust that comes from God. And then when Jesus says this, believe that you have it, when you're asking it, we want to put together some scriptures and give a big picture about prayer, how to pray, and the effectiveness of prayer. So prayer must be according to the will of God. It doesn't mean that prayer means I get my will done. Prayer is about getting God's will done. Can I hear an amen out there for that?
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me, and every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this does not mean, let me say what this does not mean. It does not mean that if I pray hard enough and believe, really believe hard enough, God is obligated to answer my prayers. No, what it does mean is that if you believe, if you really believe, and you are praying according to the will of God, then whatever you pray shall be granted and it shall be done. How do we know what the will of God? That becomes really the main issue of prayer. And what gives us confidence to pray with faith and trust that gets the answer. But the big thing is it the will of God? Have you ever wondered, is this the will of God or what is the will of God? And you're not sure how to pray. How do we know? If we want to know, I want to pray with faith and I want to pray with confidence and I want to pray with a power that will give me the answer to the prayer that I have. How do you do it? True faith is based on the Word of God. In other words, we learn the will of God by being in the Word of God. God's Word reveals His will. And He will speak His Word to you and make it come alive to you. And that's why we need to daily be in the Word. This word is, some people think of this as like ancient words, past words. This is the living Word of God. And I am telling you, everything that God has said, it's not past. The Word of God is like all the words of God and all the promises of God are swirling around us right now. And they are living. And you grab the word that the Holy Spirit prompts for you for this particular situation, at this particular moment, and you grab hold of that Word of God that is alive, and the current of the power of God speaking right here, right now, His creative power, His omnipotent power will surge through you as you pray, and you will see the answer to your prayers. Amen? Well, God's word is, I'm telling you, it is powerful. To memorize it, to read it is a beginning. Then to study it, to understand it. Then memorize it. Then begin meditating upon it. There are levels where the word of God goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and all of a sudden, it becomes part of how you, it will change how you think. That's what's so awesome about the word. It changes the way you think. And when after it changes the way you think, after a while, it will begin changing the way you feel, your emotions. And when your mind has been renewed and then your emotions are being transformed, all of a sudden you find a new strength and power and passion in your will that's not of you, but it is the will of God in you and through you to do what He has required you to do. But it's by His strength and by His Spirit and by His power, His word is taking root and it's coming alive inside of you. It's like it's powerful, it bears fruit. Okay, let me just share one thing with you that I think is interesting. In science, scientists have said that, like with quantum physics, and this is not my realm, but I want you to know this, and I think it's important to just share this. Did you know that science and theology are not contrary to one another? How many of you know that theology is just spiritual language for what in science God created and God put the order there? The whole thing, it just flows. And science is creeping up on some very interesting things. So here's just one quick one. There's a guy who was an inventor that I read about recently. He's got over 600 patents. He was dying and his wife was a believer and she prayed for him and he got healed. And anyway, he made this discovery that matter has memory. He was in music a lot, and he used to work with Jim Moog, you know, Moog synthesizers. I don't know if you've ever heard of Moog synthesizers, but he said that when we speak, you know, the world is made of invisible things. How many of you are aware of that? I mean, we think, oh, this is solid, and this Bible, and my body, and the clothes, you know, it's solid, right? No, it's made... it's made of invisible things, little atoms, little electrons, a little nucleus. And what's amazing is, on the atomic level, there's more space than there is matter. Because the electron is so far away, relatively, from where that nucleus is. So he was saying, in my field of music, we realize when you speak, your words send something more than just sound. He said that the particles of the electrons and photons go out like waves and literally penetrate the environment around you. There is a physicalness to the sound, which is making a frequency and a vibration, and it's literally impacting, going into, as it were, leaving an imprint into the physical environment. And it remains there. Hence, he said, matter has memory. Think about this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 27. Do you remember Joshua and all the children of Israel there? And they're making these vows, you know, before God and everything. And you know what Joshua said? Joshua said, today the rocks heard what you said and will bear witness in the future should you ever go back on what you said. The rocks heard you and bear witness. He said, well, now we know from science that literally that when they shouted those things to God, it had an impact even there into the rocks. We think of, oh, it was just, you know, it's kind of a metaphor. Yeah, that nature kind of heard it. He says, today science would say, no, actually, the rocks actually heard what you guys said. And if we just had the capacity to take the frequency of that matter and pull it out, we could hear it. He said, that's what a modern CD is. A modern CD is a modern rock that captured the vibrations and the sounds and recorded and is pre-engineered to have the frequency to get it out. So then in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus, you know, comes in on the Palm Sunday, and then all the Pharisees are saying, Stop, stop, stop. You're crying in the messianic psalms. And Jesus then says to them in verses 39 and 40 of Luke 19, if these hold their peace today, the rocks will cry out. Now, what does that mean exactly? Those rocks, what would they cry out? Those rocks could cry out, going back to the prayers of Abraham, who on that very same mountain worshiped God when he was willing to sacrifice to God. And then they recorded it, and they recorded Isaac, and they recorded Jacob, and all the patriarchs, and all those who came there. And Jesus was saying, it's all right there. The rocks heard what they said, and it could be played back if we need to. But I'm not going to make these hold their voices. And therefore, it's so cool to realize God's word lives, impacts, leaves its imprint inside of you and me. It's living, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is able to give you eternal life. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, read with me Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's read it out loud. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So God's word reveals his will to us. And then again, as we mentioned, the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done, but God's will done. And Jesus closes by saying that true prayer involves forgiveness as well as trust. Now, we don't earn, our forgiveness by forgiving others. But what Jesus is teaching by principle is, if you have received the imprint of the work of the Spirit and the heart of the Father, the evidence of that will be that you will forgive those who have sinned against you. And you'll have a desire to want to obey the Lord and to be forgiving. Because my Father is forgiving. I'm coming down from heaven to lay my life down. You and be crucified to show you that I'm forgiving. The Holy Spirit's willing to live inside of you, even when you're not perfect, and forgive you on a moment-by-moment basis till you get to heaven and are perfect. So if the Father is forgiving, and the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, is forgiving, and the Holy Spirit is forgiving, then the one that everything has been done for and is now is in you, you have to be forgiving if you are a son of God. And that is an evidence and a sign that you belong to me, that you don't hold on to bitterness, but you forgive. You know, the Hebrew concept of forgiveness means it's the picture of someone untying a knot. If you don't forgive, you are tying yourself up into a knot. And it doesn't hurt the other person, it hurts you. Therefore, be loosed, be untied. Forgive. Let it go. We're not worthy. We're not the judges anyway. How many are glad that God forgave you of everything you've ever done in your whole life and anything you will ever do in the rest of your life? So, who am I to judge my brother or my sister? God is the judge. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let God be God, and let sons and daughters be sons and daughters. Amen.
Good insights on grace and forgiveness from Pastor Ray Bentley's message today in Mark chapter 11. Glad you've joined us here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled, Trusting God. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day, automatically, at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it? RayBentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And RayBentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.